If you like playing in the field of possibilities and getting your information from those who really know, Conversation at the Cutting Edge is your kind of program. Host Sandy Sedgebeer speaks with teachers, speakers, scientists, and authors that are shifting perceptions about who we are and what we're capable of. Get ready to expand your awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Here's Sandy.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgebeer, and welcome to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. Are you committed to living a longer and healthier life? If so, one way of ensuring you achieve that goal is to get a pet. According to my guest tonight, having a loving relationship with an animal is one of the most powerful factors in healing and maintaining well-being. And he should know. Dr. Bernie Siegel retired from general and pediatric surgical practice in 1989 and has since dedicated himself to empowering patients to induce their own healing. A sought-after speaker on patient and caregiver issues, he's the author of numerous best-selling books and CDs, including Love, Medicine and Miracles, Peace, Love and Healing, Prescriptions for Living, The Art of Healing, to name just a few, and of course the one we're going to talk about tonight, Love, Animals and Miracles. Dr. Bernie Siegel, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Bernie, your new book, Love, Animals and Miracles, is filled with true stories of the miracles that animals have wrought as teachers, messengers, doctors, nurses, and healers in people's lives. What is this bond that humans have with animals?
Well, I think animals have always been meant to be our teachers, Sandy. That this word is important to me because it didn't come from me, but remember the clergy who said that the word good, which is an interpretation of the Hebrew word tov, doesn't mean anything to us anymore. We use the word good so frequently, we don't get the message when you say everything God created, God, so it was good, except for man. It doesn't say that after God created man. And he said it would be better if we use the word complete. And I truly think that the animals are complete. Man is not. Now, it makes our acts meaningful, you know, because people know you're making a choice. I mean, look at the headlines. What a horror. You don't read about animals doing things like this. You know, a bunch of tigers don't get together and go and kill other species. You know, what you're more likely to see is a picture of a mother tiger nursing a pig. You'd say, what is going on? But it's that bonding. And I think that is really what the animals are trying to teach us, to bond with each other, to have relationships with each other, that we're all members of the same family in a sense. Let me say that all these stories, I mean, they're not just things from my life, but things that people sent in. And what I try to do is reflect upon each story so people get something out of it. You know what I mean? That the animals are our teachers through these stories. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, you know, it's true. I was thinking earlier about what's happening in the world today and that, you know, you wouldn't see this with animals. Animals are so willing to forgive and to love, to just give love back. And, you know, they don't seem to worry about things. They just are, and they just exude.
You know, what I was just thinking about, our children grew up in a house that you could call a zoo. I mean, we had on an acre and a half, so people don't think I live on a farm. We had every species you can name, you know, from skunks to goats in the yard and birds and all kinds of things. Wounded animals, exotic pets that people didn't know what to do with. Everybody gave them to us, and we took care of them with our five children who were like the ranch hands. But our children grew up with love, with a reverence for life. And they often mention, I've been picking up worms on the street for decades after it rains and you see them there. And I figured, well, you're neurotic, but you have a reverence for life. And then I came across Albert Schweitzer writing, when you walk down the street after the rain and you see a worm, pick it up and put it on the earth. And when you see an insect in a puddle, give it a leaf to climb on. Now, one of our children is an FBI agent. They have to be capable of killing and I mean this, they have to say yes to that question if they're going to be accepted as an FBI agent. But I got an email from him one day, and it said, oh, in between some classes I was taking down in Virginia, I went out for a walk and I saw a turtle in the street. Must have been a male who didn't ask directions. So I picked it up, and I spent half an hour, and I found a pond, and I let it go. Now, think about that. He's got a gun, but would you worry about him using it in the wrong way? Not if he spent a half an hour saving a turtle's life. And that's why if we could bring everybody up with animals, with a reverence for life, with relationships, what a different world this would be. And I may add, there has to be love with it, because when you're brought up with rejection and indifference and abuse, what do you seek? Revenge. And again, that's all the headlines. But when you're brought up with love, and I didn't say like, you know, I don't have to like what our children are doing, but I can love them, then you don't take out the revenge on everyone and then end up feeling guilty and getting yourself killed or committing suicide. We've got to grow up with love and let our kids grow up with that. And I'd say if you filled every house with animals, yeah, that would that would happen. I'm laughing because of, you know, caring for them and all the things they can do. But again, I take our dogs to a cancer support group that I run regularly. And one of them was quite ill. The diabetic and all kinds of things were happening to him. And these are all rescued animals that I bring home. And he pooped and peed on the floor. And I went and I apologized and cleaned up. And later I thought, if one of our kids had ever done that, I probably would have given them hell. But I was more accepting of the dog having an accident than I probably would have been of our children. And that's something, you know, we need to do with each other.
We do indeed. You're listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with Dr. Bernie Siegel about his new book, Love, Animals, and Miracles. After the break, Bernie will share some extraordinary stories about animals healing humans and even delivering important messages in dreams. Stay tuned.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. If you're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgebeer.com and discover what 30-plus years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with Dr. Bernie Siegel about some of the astonishing true tales of animals that have helped humans in his new book, Love, Animals, and Miracles. Bernie, what is going on in our bodies? What physical, physiological response are we actually having when we're with an animal?
Well, what happens, first let me tell you, just so people understand the benefits. A study that was done in Australia, you have a heart attack, go home to a house with a dog, 6% of the people had died in the next 12 months. If there was no dog in the house, 24% had. Now, well, anybody with a dog knows when you walk with the dog, everybody talks to you. When you take a walk by yourself, everybody doesn't talk to you. But what happens when you pet a furry animal, your oxytocin and serotonin levels go up. Those are called the bonding hormones because they go up after a child is born in the mother. so she connects with the child. And let me give you, I mean, an example in our family. All the eggs were hatched in incubators from ducks and geese and all the other birds, quail. And so they thought our children were their parents. And when they were outdoors in the yard and the school bus would come, the children would go down the driveway and the ducks and geese would follow them and try to get on the bus. And the bus drivers were very nice about it and didn't get angry. And even when we gave the ducks and geese to a place where my mother and father lived on a lake, my mother called me to say when a school bus pulls up, the ducks and geese are coming out of the lake and walking up to the street. And I said, they're looking for our children. But you see, think of that bonding. If we could all bond like that, and again, it's changing our internal chemistry and environment, just as laughter does. I mean, all these things are scientific. People have to understand that. When you're not loved, a study of Harvard students, they were asked, did your parents love you? No. 98% had suffered a major illness by middle age. Those who said yes, 24% had. So when you have a pet who loves you, yeah, they can reparent you too and help you to survive because they're giving you that unconditional love. I know when I would get a cold or be sick and climb into bed, we had a cat named Miracle, named after a cat that appeared in a dream and told the lady how to treat her cancer and said, my name is Miracle, and that lady is okay today. But anyway, if I were sick, Miracle would jump up on the bed, sit on my chest, and purr. Now, if I wasn't sick and just taking a nap, you know, she would look at me and realize, oh, you don't need me. And I saw the same thing with our dogs in the cancer group. One of them, Buddy, would walk around the room, and I could hear him talking to me. Oh, you're doing very well. Oh, you need help. And he would go over and give them love. And the ones who were doing well, he might turn around and say, hey, scratch my back. But, you know, until they petted him, he would sort of annoy them, you know, back in between their legs kind of thing. But it really, when I say I could hear him talking, yes, that's something else we discuss about consciousness there. So, again, yeah. That connection. Well, anybody who has pets knows, you know, if you think, okay, I'm going to give you a shower today and shampoo, then you can't find them. I'm taking you to the vet and you can't find them. We had some outdoor cats, and I said to the vet, the only time I could bring them to you is first thing in the morning when they come for breakfast, I can grab them. They didn't show up for a week after I made that appointment. When I told the vet, I can't, you know, I don't want to screw up your day every day, so forget it. They showed up the next morning to have breakfast. Now, that's no coincidence, yeah.
No, it's not. Oh. And I love Rupert Sheldrake's work on dogs who know when their owners are coming home. You know, they really are. And I've got a dog here that I'm sitting at the moment. And as we're speaking, he's just walked straight over to me. He spent the entire afternoon on the other side of the room. And as we're talking, he's just walked straight over to me. So he's listening to you, Bernie.
So
tell us, you've said that in many cases, animals choose us, not the other way around.
Yeah. Well, what I've seen with our animals, I always say I let God decide when I should, you know, go adopt another pet. And by that, I mean I get a message. It says, go to the animal shelter. And I go. And in one case, I walked in, and the dog came running out of the back of the shelter. You know, he should be in a cage. But he ran up and just embraced my leg. Okay, I adopted him. And he has so much fur, my wife named him Furfy. And then I wrote a book called Buddy's Candle. And I heard a voice say, go to the animal shelter. I walk in the door. There's a dog sitting there. I said, what's his name? His name is Buddy. He's been here less than 15 minutes. Boom. Another day I walked in and they said, oh, yeah, there's a big, beautiful husky. Oh, I've always wanted one. What's his name? Brady. That's my Irish name. And people, friends who are Irish, have named their child after me and said, we have to call him Brady because we're Irish. And here's a dog is named Brady. And the other day I picked up a dog, I named him. But he was there just looking at me, and I took him home, named him Rags, after a dog in a poem. And this dog, I'll just give you the end of the poem. It's a dog who's been with the army, and he has saved the lives of many soldiers. One of them wants to take him home but can't find him when he's discharged. He goes back to medical school, walks into a lab. Who's cut open on a table? Rags, the dog. And he goes over to him, and the dog licks his hand and then dies. And the poem ends with, if there's no place in heaven for a dog, you know, like that, then I'd rather be in hell. And I've seen it with our animals. You see, the lesson they teach us, when I've been taking care of their wounds, doing things to them, they turn and lick my hand. And I know they're saying, you're hurting me. You know, they don't bite me. It has always amazed me. And even when one of the dogs injured the rabbit, I thought they knew each other, but apparently they needed more time to adjust. So when I went out of the house for a short time, came back, the rabbit was injured. But within a couple of weeks, I went out to bring the rabbit into the house in the evening, and I couldn't find her. Where was she? Against the back of the dog, who was lying on the ground, hiding behind him. I thought, wow, you know, what forgiveness. Here he has threatened her life, and now he's her friend and hiding her from me so she can stay out later. I mean, that's what the animals are teaching us all the time about love and forgiveness.
You must have heard so many stories, and I mean, the book is chock full of them, and everyone is just so heartwarming. Is there a favorite story of all time?
Well, I can't say of all time, because, I mean, each one touches me. But, you know, again, about the forgiveness and the love of, you know, when you think again about how we're treating each other due to changes and differences. One of our grandchildren had several turtles. The story's in the book by Charlie Siegel. And they died, and one was left who he could see was very depressed, wasn't eating, because he was lonely. So Charlie finally decided, I better buy a fish and put it in, and he'll really like that and eat and, you know, keep him healthy. Even though Charlie said it broke my heart to, you know, end the fish's life. But anyway, he goes and buys the fish, brings it, and drops it in the tank. And what does he see? The fish and the turtle swam up to each other, touched noses, and became friends. And they're living together now, sharing meals and everything else. And that's the part, again, that the animals, you know, teach us. The turtle doesn't go and gulp them down. He says, hey, it's nice to have company, and they become family. And there's something that appeared in an old Ann Landers column, you know, that ends with, and if you can avoid judging people by race, religion, nationality, etc., then you're almost as good as your dog. I mean, it's like 25 different things, from eating the same food every day, and you know, you don't start the day with, you start the day without caffeine, and etc., etc. And it ends with, you're almost as good as your dog. So I tell people, remember, if you want to have a role model, WWLD. They say, what does that mean? What would Lassie do? So whenever you have a tough decision, say, what would Lassie do? And I'm not kidding when I say that, that if you find a role model and act and behave as if you're the person you want to be, you, again, change your chemistry and change who you are. You know, it's like rehearsing and practicing a part in a play. And I mean that again, literally. You change your body chemistry by the role you're playing. If you're in a tragedy, you're more likely to get sick while you're in the play than if you're in something Mel Brooks did, where you're having fun every night and laughing and enjoying yourself.
Tell us the story. You've got a lovely story about a conversation that you had with a snake in your garden.
Oh, yeah. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have five children, and they kept running in the house because our house is shaped like a C, and I have a fence across that, so we can let everybody out. And the kids are out playing, and they kept coming in. And I'd say, what is it? Well, there's a snake out there. We don't want to go outside. We're afraid. It hisses. It does, you know, it comes after it. Maybe about it. I said, all right, let me go out and talk to the snake. So I went out. And when I say talk to an animal, I mean The words are in your head. You don't say them out loud. But I said to the snake, you know, why are you treating our children this way? Could you please not bite them? And I don't want them to feel threatened, so they can be out and you all get along. And yes, the snake said, okay, I won't bite them. So I said to the kids, don't worry, the snake won't bite you. And they go out. And a week later, I could tell they were having a good time and not running in the house, so I went out to thank the snake. And he was a mess, like tied in a knot, all bent and twisted. And I said, what happened to you? Your children. I said, what do you mean? Well, you told them I wouldn't bite them, so look what they did to me. And I said, I told you not to bite them. I didn't say you can't hiss. And that's what we all have to remember, that anger does not mean I don't love you. You know, there's appropriate anger if you're not treated with respect. So that's okay, too. And you know why the animals will at times growl or hiss? They let you know, hey, that's no way to treat me. Or where's my dinner? You know, you're late. So they know that, too. And we have to behave in that way also. It's okay to speak up, you know, not be submissive and allow people to abuse you.
Yes. Can you share with us, before we close the show, a story from your book of an animal helping a human heal from a mental or physical trauma?
Well, the thing I learned about our potential, and I'd say our faith, two things. One was a dog of ours who, the vet, because we were at the veterinarian, and he said to me, this dog, he had a malignant melanoma, is so sick. I've never seen a dog like this recover. While you're here, we ought to just put him to sleep. I said, I've got to tell the children. I can't come home and, you know, just bring a dead animal home because we bury everybody around the house. So I called up the house and said, look, we've got to put Oscar to sleep. And the kids said, no. I said, what do you mean no? You don't put your patients to sleep, you're not putting Oscar to sleep. So I said to the vet, I'm sorry, I can't. And I brought him home. And what I did was love him. You know, I figured it's his last few days. Let me just love him. And literally, when I would have breakfast, I'd sit down on the floor next to him and share my breakfast and give him some of my supplements and vitamins and give him a massage every time I'd get home from the hospital. And I spent a lot of time sitting on the floor next to him and rubbing him and loving him. And in a few days, I noticed something. He was standing on his feet again. In a few more days, he was walking around. And in a few more, I said, well, there's no point in keeping him in the house, so we put him outside with the other dogs. And he lived for over 3 years with no sign of the cancer. And there's a book out now called The Energy Cure, and I realized that's what I did to him. I was like the battery cables conducting the love and the energy of creation, in a sense, into him. And it changed him. And this can happen to people, too. And the other was a little story about Furphy, that a man was in the office saying to me, and the book ends with this, the man said to me, what's it like on the other side? I said, I can't tell you in detail what it's like on the other side. You know, I may have had a near-death experience, but I don't know what it's all about on the other side. He said, you're a man of faith. I thought you'd know. I said, I'm sorry, but, and then there was a scratching at the door. And I opened the door, and it was Furphy, and he just came running in. And I said to the man, you see what he did? He's never been in this office, but I opened the door, and he came running in. Why? Because he has faith in me, see? He has faith in his Lord. And so he doesn't fear crossing over the threshold and coming in. And I said, and that's what it can be like for you. And a few days later, Art Furphy quietly died in the kitchen at night. He didn't want to upset me. So when I got into bed, he left the bedroom, went to the kitchen, and died quietly there. And I found him in the morning. But again, he had no trouble dying. You know, he just laid down and left his body.
Crossed the threshold. Bernie, I mean, this book is lovely. It's a perfect gift for every pet lover.
Yes.
And indeed, anyone who needs to be reminded about the miracles that love and animals bring into our lives. I can imagine that you're going to get inundated with stories, and you've got an endless series of books, just like Chicken Soup for the Soul.
I'm always writing well, in a local newspaper column, and you know, all the stories about your life. Yeah, life is a story. And I always say, we're here to live and learn. And everything around us becomes our teacher. Nature becomes our teacher. You know, because bacteria alter genes and survive antibiotics. I mean, trees, if you cut a branch off, the sap doesn't leak out. They heal. Just the way if we cut our finger, we heal. So all that potential is built into us. And I think the more we learn from nature, and again, that's a biblical line, you know, the trees, the animals, all of them become your teachers, then you are far more likely to heal of your wounds than if you don't learn from nature.
Bernie, that is a beautiful way to end the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. And I have to say, I never stop reading this book because the stories are wonderful every time you read them.
Yes, they are. They bring a smile to your face. Thank you, Bernie Siegel. Bye-bye.
Oh, bless you. Bye-bye.
And for more information about Bernie's work, you can go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And it truly is a fabulous gift, that book. Well, that brings us to the end of this show. For advance information about future guests, you can sign up for my newsletter at sedgbeer.com. The theme tune for the show is from an original song called Searching by Grammy Award-winning producer, composer and musician Barry Goldstein. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining me today. And I look forward to having your company at the same time next week. Till then, don't forget there's lots more great shows live and in our archives here at vividlife.me.
Thank you for listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge, where scientists, researchers, authors, and teachers working at the leading edge meet. For conversations that aim to shift your perceptions about who you are, why you're here, and what you can achieve when you open your mind, expand your awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Join us next week, same time, with your host, Sandy Sedgbeer, for another conversation at the Cutting Edge.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.